Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Guess what, Will?
What's that, Mango?
So, you know I love the World Cup, right? And one of the people I always think about when the World Cup starts now is Kim Jong-il.
Like the Korean dictator? What's he have to do with soccer?
Yeah, so I'm not sure if you remember this, but in 2010, North Korea sent this team to the World Cup, and the coach of the team claimed that when the North Koreans scored, or if they ever won games, it was only because he was getting guidance during the game from Kim Jong-il.
Yeah, the guy's got so many talents. So how exactly did this work?
Mm-hmm. So it's an amazing way he did this. The dictator was apparently sending him telepathic signals through this invisible cell phone technology that he'd invented,
right.
I guess, 1 year before. And that's what dictators do in their spare time.
Right.
But before you laugh at how ludicrous that sounds, you do have to remember that this is the same man who the first time he played golf supposedly scored 5 holes in 1.
I mean, it might sound just like borderline ridiculous, but anyway. But so was the North Korean team any good?
I mean, they did get to the World Cup, which is, you know, a huge feat, but it's hard to compete against superstar nations. And they ended up losing 7-0 to Portugal. And supposedly when they arrived back in Pyongyang, they were put on a stage and humiliated for 6 hours in front of these elite government officials. And it just sounds miserable.
Yeah.
Like it's a no-win situation. But that's actually the first of 9 World Cup facts we've got for you today. So let's dive in.
Hey there, podcast listeners. Welcome to Part-Time Genius. I'm Will Pearson, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend Mangesh Hattigadur. And sitting behind that soundproof glass, he's cross-stitching again, Mango. He is cross-stitching a tribute, this time to Paul, the World Cup predicting octopus.
He's so good at needlepoint.
He really is. Well, that's our friend and producer, Tristan McNeil. All right, Mango, it's obviously World Cup season, and we're talking about soccer today. But I'm curious, before we dive in, why do you love the tournament so much?
So part of it is that I grew up in the States and I only got to visit my relatives in India every, 3 or 4 years. And it was always during the monsoons, but when it was a World Cup year, it was just so exciting. And I remember particularly like when I was in 5th grade, my grandparents had one of the few color TVs around. And this was obviously a long time ago, but we'd all stay up to watch the games live, and you'd play cards, you'd chat. There'd just be so much anticipation for these games. And then my cousin's friends would come over, and so we'd all huddle around this tiny TV and just root for underdogs. And, and you know, you'd be watching, like, Roger Mila, who was, I don't know, like 38 or 39 scoring goals, and you'd be so excited for him. Or, you know, you'd see these colonial rivalries play out on the pitch. And it was just really fun. Partially because soccer is so much a game of upsets, like more upsets happen in soccer than other sports. But I had this amazing experience in 2006 when I wanted to watch this Ivory Coast game in Brooklyn. And this was before soccer seemed to be that big in New York. I was in Clinton Hill. I was walking to a bar and they didn't have the game on. And then I walked to this other bar and they didn't have this game on. And I was like increasingly irritated that I couldn't watch this game. And then I walked by this empty African barbershop and I heard these cheers in the back. So I just kind of looked in and there was this guy standing in the back. He kind of just pointed at me and he said, "Do you want to watch the game?" And I was like nodding and he pulled this curtain open. And in the back of the barbershop, there was this room full of people just huddled around this tiny TV. And he motioned me to come in. And so I just watched the game on the floor surrounded by people. And it just reminded me of India. And it was just so wonderful.
I love that story. That's pretty great.
And, you know, I obviously love international soccer. I love men's soccer, women's soccer. But I'm excited that you actually had to research soccer for this episode.
Right.
I'm curious what story you're going to lead off with.
Yeah, you know what? I actually had a lot of fun researching for this episode. And so I think, though, that I'm going to stick with your dictator's theme. And this is a story that involves Mussolini. So I think we both know that FIFA is a pretty corrupt organization, but it's hard to imagine anything as brazen as when Italy held the World Cup. This was back in 1934. Now, according to a book by the BBC's Chris Hunt, Mussolini started things off by making the trophy way more ostentatious, which is not surprising. That's kind of the dictator's thing to do.
Sure.
But he built his own trophy for the cup that was six times the size of the traditional World Cup trophy. Then he proceeded to rig the matches. At least that's what people think. So there's this rumor that he handpicked every ref in the tournament. And when Italy beat Austria in the semifinals, it really showed. I mean, apparently not only were there penalties and bad calls against Austria that shouldn't have been called, but during one play, an Austrian kicked the ball to go out of bounds, and the ref actually headed the ball back in and passed it to an Italian player.
That's ridiculous. But I mean, I guess if you're going to the trouble of creating a trophy that's six times that big, like, you might as well rig the tournament.
It's true. And, you know,
it's pretty insane.
Like you said, soccer is a game of upset. So it's possible that they could have won on their own. And apparently Mussolini didn't even like soccer, and he often described the sport as unmanly. But he knew that it was important to be seen as victorious on this huge world stage. And there are actually academic papers about this that speculate it would have been hard for Italy to have gotten those results without at least some help from the refs.
That's really crazy. So one of the things I've enjoyed doing is seeing what the World Cup teams demand at hotels. And for some reason, this was leaked in 2010. And some of the things make sense, right? Like Portugal wanted the hotel to provide these four bodyguards for Cristiano Ronaldo, who's obviously a massive superstar. Algeria wanted Qurans in every room. And Ecuador wanted a daily banana basket delivered to each player.
It's just fun to say daily banana basket. Yeah.
I think that should just be a thing everywhere.
Right.
But perhaps one of the strangest requests was that France had this outright ban on bar soap for their players. And they demand that the hotel only provide liquid soaps.
So I honestly get all of the others, but why the bar soap thing?
You know, I'm not sure about this entirely. I do know the French manager is a little kooky or was a little kooky. And at the time he was really into astrology. So he wouldn't like let a Leo be a defender on the team or whatever.
Right.
But I think this was just a way to prevent any chance of slipping on bar soap in the shower or in the bathroom. I don't know. It's kind of crazy.
Okay. I mean, I guess I can see where he's coming from on that. But all right, well, here's a quick one about the World Cup trophy. So for starters, it's strange that it's called the World Cup when the trophy isn't really shaped like a cup anymore. But one other fact I saw about this, did you know that the trophy is actually running out of room?
So how do you mean?
Well, currently there's only space to etch in maybe three or four more winning teams onto the trophies.
Huh.
So if you look ahead to the 2030 World Cup, they'll either need to extend the trophy with a bigger base or they'll just have to make a new trophy.
That's pretty funny. So one thing I've heard repeated over and over since I was a kid was that India made the 1950 World Cup, but then they had to withdraw. And I've heard different variations of the story, right? Like I've heard that the team refused to play in shoes or because they wanted to play barefoot, or like the Indian government refused to buy them shoes, or they did wear shoes, but they couldn't play in them. And I was curious if there was any truth to this, right? It turns out in the 1948 Summer Olympics, the Indian national team competed against France, and it was actually a close game. It was 2-1, but they did it playing barefoot, which actually shocked the world community. But then in 1950, when they made the World Cup, they actually backed out for a different reason. So according to historians, while the team might have been annoyed that they had to play in soccer shoes, it had more to do with the fact that the World Cup was announced late and they had this super short practice schedule. And the fact that the newly independent Indian government didn't think that the World Cup was that big a tournament. So like they didn't want to fund the team to go halfway around the world to Brazil. You know, if it had been another Olympics, they would have happily ponied up for that. But they didn't see this as that big a world event. And the strange part is that soccer isn't that big in India now. Like everyone is cricket crazy. But if they had sent that team to the World Cup, there are a lot of historians who think that India would have been more invested in soccer over the years and had a much stronger team today.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that makes sense when you think about the impact of this worldwide tournament. But all right, well, here's a funny little tradition. So in the 1962 World Cup, Chile's team ate Swiss cheese before defeating the Swiss. Then they ate spaghetti before playing Italy and beat them. Then they drank vodka shots to prepare for the USSR match, which they also won. And then they drank coffee before a Brazil match. But apparently it was really the wrong stereotypical food to ingest because their luck ran out in that game, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't know what Brazilian food you should have eaten to make sure you beat the Brazilian team. But
it's a tough one.
Here's another weird one about superstitions. And this comes from an Argentinian goalie named Sergio Goycochea. And he used to leave it all out on the field before penalty shootouts. And actually, I'm going to let him describe it. This is from an interview with The Guardian. So, quote, reporter, didn't you used to prepare for shootouts by urinating on the pitch? Goycochea, you know, by the rules of the game, until the match finishes, you cannot abandon the field. And if you have any necessary human urges, you have to go on the field. So that's what happened against Yugoslavia in the 90 World Cup quarterfinals. At the end of the game, I really had to go, so I had no choice, but we won. So then when the semifinal against Italy went to penalties, I did it again, and it worked. So from that moment on, I did it before every shootout. It was my lucky charm.
Wow, that is so strange. But, you know, you do hear about so many of these athletes being superstitious, and there's so much on the line that, you know, it's not surprising they develop superstitions, but that one is a little weird. I don't know that I know many that are weirder than that. But all right, we got two more facts before we declare a winner. But before we get to those, let's take a quick break.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Welcome back to Part-Time Genius. We're talking about the World Cup. So before we get to our last couple of facts, Mango, I'm curious, are you enjoying the tournament this year?
Yeah, I am. I love all the upsets. I love following different nations and stuff, but I haven't watched as much as I'd like because, you know, the games are on during the day. It's funny, as we have watched, though, Lizzie has had this funny theory about the managers of the teams. Like, she thinks they either all look like they could be French presidents or disheveled retirees. And it's actually a pretty good way to, like, organize the managers. If you see them, they neatly fit into those two categories.
It's sometimes they're the most entertaining part of these matches. Like, I've loved watching the Senegal coach. He was so animated. It's been pretty entertaining.
And, I mean, he looks like he should be a French president. So.
It's a category. You're right. It's a good theory here.
What's your last factor?
All right. Well, this isn't exactly a World Cup fact, but there's a stadium that I wanted to talk about, and it's Estadio Milton Correa, which is also called Big Zero or the Big Zero. And what's awesome about it is that the midfield line is located exactly on the equator. And so here's what I think is fun about that. So when you're playing there, each team is actually playing for and defending an entire hemisphere. So I don't know why I find that so amusing.
I mean, it feels like that's where the World Cup final should be held every year, you know,
yeah.
if you're defending a hemisphere.
It makes perfect sense. All right, well, what's your last fact, Mango?
Well, if you've been watching the World Cup, there's been a little speculation about whether Russia should be winning as much as they have. And It is actually a good team. I mean, they came in sort of mediocre, but they've played smart. But there are questions about Vladimir Putin and Russian corruption. But the Russians are actually responsible for one of the most honest moments in World Cup history. And There's this player named Igor Netto. This was in the 1962 World Cup. His team was tied up with Uruguay, and he scored a goal. But it actually went through the net on the side of the goal. So Netto went to the ref, and he urged him not to count it because it wouldn't be fair to win that way. And I can't even imagine a player being that honest today. You know, I mean, people fake injuries to get penalties. People do all these things, but... You know, he asked for a goal to be retracted, and luckily the team scored and won in the 89th minute of that game. But years later, he recalled why he did that, and he said, quote, "We should win without relying on the referee's mistakes, and when it was changed, I finally felt a sense of relief."
Yeah, wow. I mean, you know, it is so rare in sports to see that level of honesty. So, you know, I kind of want to give you the trophy for that one, and then, of course, thinking back about the Goicoechea, urinating on the pitch and all of that, like that is just so strange. But I got to be honest, I'm super impressed with Lizzie's theory of organizing the managers. So I feel like she kind of swooped in and stolen the trophy this week. Are you good with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. We'll be back with a full-length episode tomorrow.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting 2 young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.